Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent.
Nope.
Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent.
Top talent. This is my podcast. Can't sing this anymore because the words are too fast. Yeah, better start the show or I'm not going to last. Top talent. Let's get at it. Top talent.
With me, Rhyming Richie.
Hey, what's up? This is my podcast. Very simply, it is about talent. It's called Top Talent. Stayed up all night thinking of that. It's about local talent in the capital region of upstate New York, because that's where this originates from. Or maybe national talent. They may be coming here, or, you know, talent that lived here and left. Maybe just talent making a splash online or wherever it may be. I'm looking. My name is Richie Phillips. I'm the former co-host of a radio show that I worked on for 30 years. It's a country station, actually. You wouldn't think country is huge in the Northeast, but the station was huge and still is. It's WGNA in Albany. 17 of those years, I was with my partner there, Sean McMaster. We were the Sean and Richie Show, and we very luckily won a CMA award in the year 2000 for Best Morning Show. I'll just throw that in there for my own ego. This is what I'm doing now. I do perform in the area. I do weddings and parties and all kinds of stuff, but I'm hosting this podcast, and my guest this week is a guy who really likes to promote talent in his own right. His name is Nate Altamari. He is the director of a group called Rock Voices. A friend of mine, Sharon Carter, who I used to work with, turned me on to this group, and it is fascinating. This is a group that forms a community choir. You don't have to have any experience. You don't have to audition. If you just love the music that they're going to sing, you can join and be a part of this chorus, choir, or whatever you want to call it. It has a lot of chapters all over the country. We're going to talk about the Capital Region chapter in specific. And if you're a musician or even a non-musician, it doesn't matter, I guess, you could join this chorus. So we're going to talk right now to Nate Altamari from Rock Voices here on
Top Talent.
Hello.
Hello, Nate.
How are we doing?
I am here with Nate Altamari from an incredible group. I'm telling you, you know when you hear about an idea and you go, all right, I got to hear a little bit more before I make a decision whether that's a good idea or not. Just the name and just a little description of what this is, I said, it's a no-brainer. It's got to be big. And Nate Altamari is the head locally in the capital region of a group called Rock Voices. And with that, I'm going to let you explain what it is and how you got started with it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Where do I start?
Yeah.
So the very brief backstory in my explanation, at least, is that Rock Voices was started in 2012 in the Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts, the Northampton, Amherst, Hadley area, by a gentleman named Tony Lechner. And he was had been a public school teacher and decided to leave that profession and started the first no audition community rock chorus. And I think it might have had a different name for their first season or two, but it eventually settled on Rock Voices. And the idea was to create an opportunity for people to sing regardless of their previous experience, regardless of their ability levels, because people like to sing, and singing is a fun way to improve your life. And, there's something intimidating about getting having to go through an audition for some sort of a professional group that's really polished.
Exactly.
And that can be really intimidating, even
sure.
for experienced singers.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
That can be intimidating.
Yeah.
And so he started this choir, and Tony and I have known each other since undergraduate school at UMass Amherst way back in the 90s.
Huh.
And once the group got established and it started slowly expanding to other areas within Massachusetts, and then over time he started reaching out saying, hey, I've got this thing, are you interested in starting a choir? And at the time I had two young kids. I was working two nights a week for a job that I had at the time, and adding something else to my schedule just wasn't an option.
Sure.
And so things finally settled down for me in late 2017, early 2018. And so I ended up calling Tony back and I said, listen, now might be the right time for me to start one of your choirs.
I'm just going
to
interrupt you. Are you a teacher by trade though?
I'm not.
Really?
No. I mean, I have a little bit of a, I had a few years where I taught early childhood ed. Okay. I went to school for music performance. I've sung in a cappella groups for the last 20, 25 years.
Gotcha.
And the most recent job the job that I had when I first started Rock Voices was I was teaching voice acting at a local recording studio that hosts a voice acting training program.
Interesting.
And so I was doing that, and it was a couple nights a week, and things were too crazy, and then eventually they settled, and my wife and I agreed that it was an okay time. So yeah, so I started our first choir here in the Capital Region in spring of 2018, and we had a total of 17 singers our first season, which was a little bit small and a little daunting for me because I wanted the group to be successful and I wanted it to thrive, and 17 felt like, you know, kind of a lower number. It felt like a small number for a choir, right? We weren't doing a small group. It was meant to be a big group,
right? You want to do all the parts, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so so we had this this first season of Rock Voices, the concert, I guess it would have been April or May of 2018. And because our organization oversees many of these choirs in the Northeast, at the time, I think there were probably five or six members from the other choirs, from a choir in West Hartford and one in Brattleboro, Vermont, and one in the Northampton Amherst area, members of those choirs came out to sing on our concert with us.
Oh,
because all of our choirs sing the same program each season. So, the day of the concert, I had this 50 or 60 person choir in front of me after a whole season of rehearsing with 17 singers. and the idea there was, first of all, to give my singers the idea of what it really can be when the choir is big, but also to hopefully make our indelible mark on the Capital Region with this really big choir performance.
Make a big show.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was the first season. And from there, the group took off. And now just sort of gathering our belongings after the COVID shutdown, we're back up to 80 singers.
Wow. Wow.
In the Albany Choir.
That's great.
And then a year after I started the Albany Choir, I started one up in Saratoga. So we have a Saratoga choir that's been around for several years as well. And that group now has, I think, 60 members. The same thing. They share a program and they will sing on each other's concerts, but they are two separate, unique choirs.
So how many of these rock courses are in the United States? In the United States, yeah.
Yeah, right now in the U.S. there are, I believe, 16 Rock Voices choirs, primarily Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, and then one kind of rogue choir out in Portland, Oregon, that was started by a friend of Tony's as well. So our number of choirs have gone sort of up and down over time due to either availability of directors or lack of availability of directors. We have directors who are able to do it for the summer because they're educators, but you know, once the fall comes around, they need to step back in order to focus on what they might be doing otherwise.
Gotcha. Here's what I don't understand, though. Okay, I come in there, knock on your door, and say, I have always wanted to be in the choir. I sing in the shower, but I really don't sing that well. I'm, this is great. I don't have to audition. I can just come and be in your choir. Can you mold a person that, I mean, do you get people there that you know don't really sing well, and how do you do that? How do you?
Work? Yeah, you know, that's a really good question.
Okay, go
so ahead. So you walk in the door,
right?
You sing at home, but no one's ever told you whether you're able to or not,
right?
And ultimately, yeah, you know, so we do have a lot of singers who are inexperienced, who have never sung before, who car or shower singers, and absolutely there are people within our choirs that maybe can't hold pitch very well.
So how do you do that?
Well, you know, the nice thing is we have so many singers that they're really able to sort of
drown them out
in a little bit. Well, to a certain extent, you know. Personally, I've never had an experience where I've had to contact a singer individually and say, "Hey, so I hear you. I'm not sure if you're singing the right parts." There are some gentle ways to have that conversation, and I've seen it in my choir where I've seen one member lean over and spend the entire rehearsal basically talking through how to sing the songs.
Interesting.
With somebody who might be struggling.
So it's a real positive experience for everybody. I mean, everybody has it in a positive mode, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. You know, I don't think that we've ever been in a situation. I've personally never been in a situation where I've had to tell somebody that it wasn't the right place for them. There's always room. And if it's something that I really feel like it really sticks out, then I might address it and ask, you know, suggest that they either consider changing a voice part because maybe they're not hearing the part that they're trying to sing very well and not able to match it.
Right.
Or I might suggest that they that they sing a little bit more with a little bit less enthusiasm. Right.
I love it.
But
that's funny.
But yeah, the idea is that it is meant to be a truly all-inclusive event with that allows anybody and everybody to be able to sing regardless, again, of their previous experience.
Gotcha. And no matter which choir it is around the country, everybody's singing the same program? Like if you wanted to do a Rolling Stones night, you can't do it because it's kind of a prepackaged program for every group?
Correct, yeah. You know, so it's not like exactly. We're not in a position where somebody might call us up and say, "Hey, we're having an event. Could you come and sing a song by such and such an artist?" Now, if we happen to be singing one of those songs during our current season, then that might work. But mm-hmm. we have a set program each season. Our membership does change from season to season. So we can't call up, you know, an old favorite because chances are half of the people in the room haven't sung that one before,
gotcha.
That song before.
Uh-huh.
All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And another, I guess this is a touchy question, but getting the rights to these songs, how do you do that?
So Tony, our executive director in Massachusetts, he handles all of that stuff.
Oh.
And I know that he's very by the books about the whole thing and really careful about not only, you know, putting the intellectual property of these songs out there, but also the arrangements and putting those out there. And the arrangements are his or their transcriptions. And so I know he's very by the books about it, but I also am not necessarily in the loop on you know, exactly how that takes place.
Because I know they're touchy about it these days, right?
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
They really are. And he, you know, this organization is his livelihood. It is the thing he does with his family. He directs two of the choirs in Massachusetts, but also oversees the whole organization. So he's got to be by the books because he can't risk something happening to his livelihood, to this, you know, to his baby, as it were.
Now, I've gone on YouTube and I've seen some of these, and this is another question that I have that I really scratched my head. You're taking some inexperienced people, but these are complex arrangements. I even heard like Happy Together, and you think of all the parts of just a simple song like that. In my head, I'm thinking it's simple, but then I saw the production that was done. Like, how did they teach all these people?
Yeah, I mean, it's the rehearsals. There's a fair amount of work that happens during these rehearsals. So the general rule within Rock Voices is that the songs are exactly what exists in the original material.
Right.
So if the Beach Boys sang these six parts at the same time, that's going to happen within the choir. It'll just be distributed amongst voice parts. But then again, if a song is unison, then we'll all sing unison, or, you know, maybe octaves between the low voices and the high voices.
Right.
Because the recognition factor is really important. We want the audience to immediately recall the song. Oh, I know this song. I've never heard it like this, but I know the
right.
song. And be able to sing along and not feel like they're having to navigate around somebody's creative interpretation of a song.
Gotcha. Oh, so you've never rearranged, like you said, you try to be true to the original. Like you didn't take a ballad and try to make a big, you know, a different version of it.
Exactly.
You've never done
that. With a few exceptions, there have been times in the past where the music has needed to evolve a little bit in order to make it interesting.
Yep.
But for the most part, if it exists in the original, we're singing it in the choir. And if it doesn't exist, it doesn't show up on our sheet music. And Tony handles all of that. So we have a sort of a selection by committee process for what songs we're going to sing each season. But Tony transcribes them all and puts together original karaoke accompaniment for us to use in rehearsal. He actually composes really, truly authentic karaoke accompaniment for us to use during our rehearsals, because not all of us are great piano players. I'm a novice at best piano player, and so I can get by. But once we get to the point where we want to hear how it all is coming together, singing it with accompaniment that sounds like that Beatles tune or that Rush tune or whatever it might be is really important for our singers. They want that satisfaction of, oh, I can hear this really materializing.
But this leads up to a concert where do you have live musicians playing at the concert?
We do, or? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, when we perform live, we perform with a live band, a rock band. And the membership of the band fluctuates depending on the music that season. Sometimes we'll have two guitars, bass and drums. Sometimes we'll have keyboards, guitar, bass, and drums. We did a summer theme a few years ago, pre-COVID, that was a Motown theme. And so in addition to having keys, bass, drums, guitar, we also had a three-piece horn section.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And yeah, and so it changes from season to season, but the core rhythm section is continuous from season to season.
And I could go on and on with these questions because it just fascinates me. I don't know if you have to go. I know it's movie night with your kids, right? Yeah. I don't want to interrupt you here.
We are going to do a movie later if the kids behave themselves. But okay. Right now, no, I'm good. I've got time.
Okay, great. another thing that's just unbelievable is these virtual choirs. Now, have you ever been involved in that? Like during COVID, did you ever get involved with producing one of these virtual ones?
Well, I was involved with working with my own choir members to contribute to a larger scale product or project for each season or each month, actually. So our normal format is a 3-month season with 15 songs. And when we had to shut down, we needed to evolve like everybody else. And so we shifted to one song per month and we worked virtually with our singers. So I was on Facebook Live. And they were watching me. I couldn't hear them. I couldn't see them. They could see and hear me. So I was teaching parts, basically looking at my phone sitting above my keyboard in my office. And then they would spend a month learning a song. And then everybody would record themselves first person on their phone singing their part. And those would be compiled into a virtual choir video that involved members from our choirs all over the country. There were a nice strong core of between 150 and 400 of our singers that sort of stuck with it over the what ultimately was 2 years of shutdown. We shut down on March 11th of 2020. We didn't get back in person with our membership until February of 22. And even then we're still masked in rehearsal, in order to make sure that everybody is staying as safe as possible.
Now, did you have somebody locally that did these, that produced the video? Because I sent you one that I did that was only involved like 8 people. And I know what was involved with.
I saw that video. Yeah. So, Tony ended up hiring, some freelancers to handle the project. Actually we did have, on the first few of our videos were produced by, a local guy, who I knew and I connected Tony to, a guy named Jordan McClendon. If you've ever seen the really incredible animated Albany, videos that he's made there's a woman rollerblading down State Street toward the SUNY building. He's really done some incredible work, and I had been working with him at a recording studio. So I put Jordan in touch with Tony, and he ended up doing a handful of our videos. But otherwise, I think he found other freelancers to put them together. I thankfully have avoided that part of the process because it is ungodly amount of labor involved with putting those videos together.
Well, the one that I saw that your group did, I think I counted – I went across my TV screen. I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm trying to do the math. 10 times 10. I think there was like 200 people on the screen. Now there's a guy, because I really got really more interested in these videos. Eric Whitaker. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, absolutely.
He did a TED talk where he did 2,000 people on the screen.
He's really the guy. Even pre-COVID, he was doing virtual choir videos way back in, 2014, 2015. And he kind of pioneered that whole idea. And I think even was involved with the development of some of the software that really allows you to make it work.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of voices. And we've had, I think, as many as maybe 400 on some of our videos. And I know that those videos legitimately took months
to
edit and compile.
Yeah.
Never mind teaching the parts and people individually recording their stuff. So it's, it's crazy the amount of work.
Because again, people go on Facebook and they go on YouTube and they see something like that and they go, oh, that's cute. And then they watch a cat video afterwards. You don't understand what went on with that 1 minute. It's like months and months and months of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. All right. Question. What do you think is the greatest rock song in terms of arrangements? Something that you would just, it'd be the epitome for you to try to recreate with your group.
Oh my goodness. That is such a loaded question.
Cause the one that comes to mind with me, and then I found that one of your groups did it, was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, we did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Did you do it?
I mean, that's such an epic. We did Bohemian Rhapsody virtually.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic. It's such an epic song, right? It goes through so many different styles and genres almost. I don't know. I'm a huge Steely Dan fan.
Yeah.
I think musically, the theory behind the way Steely Dan songs exist, but also the vocal harmonies that are in there. I love vocal harmonies. So I would say maybe Peg. I love Peg.
Yep.
I love Any Major Dude, which doesn't have a lot of harmonies, but is a great tune. There's some great Beatles stuff. We just did a summer of Beatles in our choirs. I think we did 17. Our local choir did 17 songs. I think some of the choirs did as many as 22 or 23.
I was just thinking about because did they do Because?
We did. We did Because. Yep.
How do you teach how do you teach people that are not skilled to do something like this?
That's right. It's tough, right? Because there's so many layers happening there. I was really impressed with how easily we were able to make that song not only work, but work effectively. I probably could find you a link somewhere of us singing that. But it was one of the ones that we did live. So there's no virtual video or anything like that. But we did it in concert with a band. And it was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. But lots of hits, and they're all right. They're all Beatles. They're all hits. But it was a really incredible season. I think the thing that you get out of a Beatles season too is, whether we like it or not, those songs are already built in, right? Collective consciousness. We know those songs. Everybody in my choir knew the songs well enough so that it wasn't like bringing a new artist to the table that I had to sort of teach a song fully by rote.
Correct.
To them.
Yep.
Right. They were able to just say, oh yeah, no, I know this song. I don't know how my part goes, but I know this song. And we were able to really put it together.
It's true. And what is it about the Beatles when you think about it, how they're still so universally loved? I mean, you could still take a little kid and let them listen to a record and they'll be singing the song all night long.
I think that's the probably one of the age old questions about the Beatles. Why? Mm. Right. What separates their art even now from every other artist out there? And there are other incredible bands and incredible songwriters. The thing that I really pulled out of this Beatles season was just how fantastic a songwriter Paul particularly is.
Unbelievable.
The two of them together, of course, have that credit and they have that chemistry. But Paul's brain I'm sure you've seen the documentary, the Get Back to documentary, and you get the same thing out of that. You see Paul's brain is just going, a million miles a minute.
He was the worker. He was the worker bee in that group. There's no question about it. Yeah.
Yep. Really incredible stuff.
Yep. And have you had any creative differences? Do you have any people that when you start doing stuff, you say it's not like that. It's very positive, right? And there's nobody.
It's a super positive environment. You know, I've had people occasionally say, the music this season isn't my favorite. I really, we advertise, we promote our group. We're called Rock Voices, and the rock genre is such a diverse genre of music. So you can't make everybody happy all of the time.
Right.
You know, there are people that want to sing legitimately, legit rock and roll rock music. And there have been times where we have absolutely done Led Zeppelin or Rush, or we did King's X one season. We do Foo Fighters. We've done all, any rock band you can think of. We have done their music. But there's also a lot of music that is in the rock genre that is not decidedly rock, right? You've got, artists like Stevie Wonder, or you've got artists that have a little bit of a country bend to them, like the Eagles, right? And that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Where they're still very much part of the rock world.
Right.
So occasionally I'll have somebody approach me and say, I'm not so sure about the songs this season. And my answer to that is, I totally get it. Give it a shot and see what you think. And the end result is that a lot of people will come out of that season saying, this song that I really thought I was not going to like turned out to be my favorite song this season.
But again, you have to know your audience too. Like, who shows up for these concerts? I mean, what is the demographic of the audience? Because that's going to really impact on the songs that you're going to do, right? I mean,
to a certain extent. I mean, we generally try not to, we pick music that we want to sing, and we're not necessarily thinking as much about, what the audience will be attached to.
Okay.
Because when we promote a concert, we're not promoting the concert with a song list. So we're just saying, Rock Voices is performing, we've got a concert. Or if it's a theme summer like this past summer when we did Beatles, obviously the draw is that people love the Beatles, so they want to come and see the Beatles. We're really catering more toward the membership of the choir, mm-hmm. and also sort of equally trying to expose people to within the choir, expose people to new artists and new facets of the rock genre, but also then load the season with a couple of ear candy songs that they know and really love, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably what hooks them in,
right?
Every season there's something new in our binder that most of the people in the choir will never have heard of, and a lot of times that ends up being kind of the sleeper hit for many people, because it's they're being exposed to somebody new. They might now go and get a whole bunch of, records or downloads or whatever of that artist, because they've been exposed to somebody different.
Right. And what I, again, love about your group is almost the same thing. And it's my same philosophy as far as learning piano. Because when I took piano lessons as a kid, they always taught me music that I didn't want to learn in the first place. And it turned me off. But then when they taught me I taught myself an Elton John song, that is my motivation to keep playing to this day, is I play something that I really, really want to, that I really, really love. And I think it's the same kind of thing with you. If you had a chorus, but they're singing, I don't know, Ave Maria. I don't know. I'm just picturing something that you didn't want to sing in the first place. You're not going to have the same interest. But when it's a band that you absolutely love, it might take a person who's not even a great singer and make them a really good singer at the end, because they're so motivated, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Because we change our repertoire so significantly each season.
Right.
Right. You almost can't sit back and relax. You have to continually be learning something new, mm-hmm. or exposing yourself to something new. So as soon as our members get that song list, the first thing that they do is, either build a playlist on Spotify or on whatever, whatever streaming platform they've got, so they can acquaint themselves with this music, some of which they certainly know and some of which they maybe never have heard before. It's pretty cool to be able to season after season continually keep people's interest because the music is so fun and unique.
It's such a wonderful idea. It really is. And when you get together with musicians, especially, like I play in a band once in a, you know, once in a while, once a month, yep, we get together. It's just such a different feeling. It's such an incredible feeling when you're with other musicians. And the same thing with singers. I'm sure that everybody gets chills just listening to a whole group, you know, that you're a part of singing like that. It's just a wonderful thing. It really is.
It really is. Yeah. I'd love for you to, you know, to come by and,
yes,
and observe a rehearsal. Give us a few weeks. We're still learning. We just started last week, so we're not so strong right now, but we're getting there. But love to have you come by and take a listen.
Thank you. I'd love to. And I have to thank Sharon Carter, who's a good friend of mine and I worked together with for years. She's the one that told me about all this. So if somebody wants to join your group, I know it's too late for this year. What's the process?
It's technically not too late. I guess it depends on when this goes to air. But we started last week. So we started the second week of September. And we generally are happy to accept new members for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. After which point, they might be a little bit behind the eight ball as far as getting, you know, getting work, getting caught up,
sure,
essentially. But if people are interested in what we do, first place to check is rockvoices.com. Mm-hmm. You'll see what we're doing for a current season, where all of our locations are, and then also information about how to enroll. And then in the capital region, I'm sure you have plenty of listeners here. That's still the place to start, but we rehearse out on Sand Creek Road, out by in the Russian Orthodox Community Center, right down past, you know, off of Wolf Road.
Yep, know exactly where it is. Okay.
Yeah, and we're there on Tuesday nights, almost every Tuesday night of the year. We're there rehearsing on something else, you know, one thing or another. So, but yeah, we are still accepting singers. And you know, people have definitely pled their case for coming in halfway through the season. And my response to them is, look, if you think you can handle it and get caught up, you're welcome to be here. We love having people.
Wait a minute. When you say every week, so how long is this whole season? If I signed up today, how many practices would you go to? You go every week?
We'll have 11 more rehearsals this season.
Wow.
So this coming Tuesday is our second of 12 rehearsals. And then we have a concert at the end of the season, and then my dog's shaking her collar in the background. Apologies. we'll have a 2 or 3 or 4 week break between seasons, depending on which season. Then we'll start back up again with a new season in the spring. And so that would be late January, early February. We'll start back up again with our next season and a whole new songbook of tunes and a lot of the same people, and then new people every season.
That's great. Now, I wanted to end with something I actually wanted to begin with. I wrote a jingle for my podcast, and I was just wondering if there's a way that you could somehow work this in, you know, make like a choir version of it. But I don't know if it's I don't know if it's going to work. Can I audition this for you? I know you don't take auditions, but can I just?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent.
Nope.
Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody. Top talent. This is my podcast. Top talent.
I don't know if it's going to work.
I love it. You know, that to me, that screams they might be giants.
Sure, yeah.
There's got a they might be giants vibe about that whole thing. Right. I love it. Nicely done.
Well, thanks very much. Well, Nate Altamari, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on here. And I can't wait to go to one of your rehearsals.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. Richie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Sure.
And, you know, people can certainly find me on Facebook.
Yes.
If they have any questions, they want to reach out to me directly. They can also, I can, you know, can I say my email address?
Absolutely. Really, I want you to. Sure.
It's nate@rockvoices.com. It's real easy.
Okay.
So yeah, anybody wants to reach out, questions about the choir, interested in joining, or locations where they are and how they can get in touch, certainly can reach out to me as well.
I'll put this all in my show notes so people can see.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Richie, thank you so much. Have a great night, man.
Yep. You too. Enjoy your movie with the kids.
I will. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to end this podcast with a little ditty that I wrote. I wrote this many years ago. It's concerning our dog. We had a dog named Mel. He was a Cocker Spaniel. And we used to buy, you know, products for his hair to coif him very, very, you know, nicely. But it kind of got mixed up with my products. Well, the song will explain it. But I also want to explain that it has a live feel to the song. There's people laughing in the background. That's because this song was done on the air, live, like I used to do, on our show, the Sean and Richie Show on WGNA in Albany, New York. We were on the air for, what, 17 years together? And you're also going to hear some other folks in the background there. There's Scott Reardon laughing. He now hosts a successful morning show in Baltimore, Maryland. Also, who else is laughing back there? The late, great, our news guy, Rick Robinson, who was just the funniest guy. We miss him a lot. And Lisa Riley, who was also on our show, and she, I believe she's in the medical field now. I think that's everybody laughing back there. There might be Benji Fido, who is now hosting a radio show locally as well. So, okay, I guess that explains that. So take a listen to this song. It's called Dog Shampoo. And I thank you very much for listening to this podcast. And see you next time on Top Talent.
We're running out of time. Gonna leave you with a rhyme. Here's one of my novelty songs.
Well, I belong to a gym, you see. Now, you wouldn't believe that, looking at me. But I do work out once a week for an entire half hour. Just last Thursday, I did just that. I swam two whole laps. I looked like a drowned rat as I staggered into the locker room for a long, hot shower.
See, rats head first.
Yep. Now, amongst all those well-built guys, I reached into my bag of supplies, and I lathered up as I read the shampoo label. Now, here's what it said. Says contains a hint of mint and rosemary and ascorbic acid. That's vitamin C. But what I read next left me psychologically disabled. This really happened. Oh, Lord, this can't be happening. Oh, my God, this can't be true. It ain't no joke. That's right, folks. I was washing my scalp with dog shampoo. Dog shampoo really happened. Okay. Now, on the front, I swear it gave no hint. There's a poodle on the back if you really squint. And squint I did to read the other directions. It said, if a human being gets this in their eye, they might as well curl up and die from the burning and the intestinal infections. This is the one time in my life, Lisa, that I wish I was a cockapoo. Oh, just my luck, I done lathered up with nothing less than dog shampoo. Come on, everybody. Dog shampoo. You know, now my nose seems to get a little colder every day, and in the lunchroom I want to lick the tray, and I crave a huge punch bowl with lots of water. Well, other than that, everything's all right, except I have to go out six times every night, and when I'm alone, I lick my own hindquarters.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you straight before it's too late. Don't you let this happen to you. Have I warned you enough? It could be rough, rough if you wash your do with dog shampoo. Shampoo. My face turned blue. I think I'd rather eat glue than wash my hair with dog shampoo. Dog shampoo.
Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and leave a comment. He reads them in bed. It makes him very happy.
Top Talent!